And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the LCMS, disaster responders continue to assess the capacity to provide additional aid for hurricane-battered Haiti, while also determining the overall impact of Hurricane Matthew as it makes its way up the U.S. southeastern coastline. Thanks to compassionate people in the LCMS who respond generously in the wake of disasters and using funds already on hand for disaster response work, two aircraft were chartered to airdrop some 60,000 packaged meals and supplies to the people in the hardest hit areas of Haiti. On October the 6th, LCMS leaders approved a $10,000 grant to Ministry in Mission, an LCMS recognized service organization, RSO, coordinating this vital airdrop. Another 60,000 meals were provided for by other partner organizations. We are looking to work through area RSOs most capable of facilitating additional aid to Haiti victims in the form of providing food and clean water, Lutheran spiritual care, and also tin roofs for some 280,000 victims whose homes were ravaged by fierce winds, said LCMS Disaster Response Director, the Reverend Ross Johnson. These RSOs have years of experience working in Haiti and have an understanding of its culture, Johnson continued. We do all of this in the name of Christ. Compassionate spiritual care provided in His name, a hallmark of all LCMS world relief and human care efforts at their finest, distinguishes what the church does from what the government agencies do in responding to disasters like this. After strengthening to Category 5, Hurricane Matthew later became a Category 4 storm with reported destructive winds in excess of 140 miles per hour as it moved through the Caribbean. Johnson estimates three tin roofs could be provided for roughly $1,000. To achieve a goal of only a few hundred roofs, the cost quickly goes up to six figures. He also estimates that 500,000 meals could cost about $300,000 to purchase, ship and distribute, noting that the extent of the Synod's response is contingent upon what God provides through the Church. Hurricane Matthew comes as LCMS disaster response resources have been strained this year amid the ongoing response to the recent flooding in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and after the Synod's response to this year's California wildfires. In the midst of such terrible destruction, the Church has the opportunity to be Christ's hands and feet, responding to the needs of the suffering, said LCMS Disaster Response Manager, the Reverend Michael Mayer. At the same time, the Church is making the bold confession that Christ is here in the midst of suffering, walking with those who are suffering, weeping with those who are weeping, through the various vocations of the Church and her members. The slaughter being mercilessly inflicted on the Syrian people in Aleppo is evil and an absolute contempt for the human spirit, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has said. It is not just the death and devastation which has caused a frustrated Archbishop to speak out, but also the failure of diplomatic efforts to tackle the situation. Asked if there is evil at work in Aleppo, he told ITV News, "What is being done is evil, both in the strict theological sense and in the general sense. It is demonic. It is the absolute contempt for the human spirit, for the dignity of the human being. It's the brushing aside of the poor and the weak and the fragile in a way that's as bad as anything we've seen in the last century. It compares with some of the great atrocities of the last century, and there have been terrible atrocities. Syria's embattled northern city of Aleppo has been pounded by Syrian and Russian planes since the collapse of the US-Russia brokered ceasefire 2 weeks ago. A stepped-up offensive by Syrian pro-government forces is attacking the city from the south in a bid to penetrate opposition-controlled areas, where the UN estimates 275,000 people are trapped in a government siege. The Archbishop told ITV News, "What is happening in Syria and bits of Iraq is so unspeakable, so appalling, particularly Aleppo at the moment. It is more than frustrating. We always have the sense if only someone did X, it would change things. But of course, no one knows what X is. I think when you see the breakdown in diplomatic relations over the last few days, the cessation of talks between the Russians and Americans, you realize that this is not because the people doing those talks are hopeless or namby-pamby. It's because they run into a brick wall. In 1846, 170 years ago, more than 800 evangelical Christians in the UK came together to unite to be one body in Christ. The movement spread around the world. 2016 is the Evangelical Alliance's 170th birthday. The Alliance is older than coloured photography, Alexander Graham Bell's telephone, the light bulb and the radio. It has survived two world wars and many other conflicts, and predates the publishing of Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights. In 1857, 900 delegates at the Alliance's Third International Conference in Berlin took a trip to Potsdam at the King of Prussia's expense. In 1861, 63 of the Alliance spearheaded a successful campaign to obtain the release of Christians in Spain from a 9-year sentence of penal servitude for distributing and preaching from Bibles. In 1879, a personal visit of Alliance delegates to the Austrian Emperor successfully brought relief from persecution to Christians in Bohemia who were prevented from meeting for worship or Bible studies. At least a dozen Church of England clergy have said they have defied the Church's teaching by marrying their same-sex partners. An open letter to the House of Bishops also urges the Church of England to permit blessings for same-sex weddings. Under the Church's official guidance, clergy are not permitted to enter into same-sex marriages. Despite this, several clergy over the past 2 years have defied this ban, including one of the signatories, Andrew Kane, who was elected to the Church of England's General Synod last October. The Church of England's finance chief has admitted that the denomination is expected almost to halve over the next 30 years. The usual Church of England attendance on a Sunday is now well below 700,000, with around 16,000 churches and 20,400 clergy. Cracks have appeared in evangelical support for Donald Trump over the video of his sexually predatory comments about women. But backing from some of his most high-profile conservative Christian endorsers, such as Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr., is holding. Among those reversing course was well-known theologian Wayne Grudem, whose endorsement was widely cited by other Christians backing the Republican presidential nominee. The prominent evangelical magazine Christianity Today on Monday said Trump was the very embodiment of what the Bible calls a fool. James McDonald of Harvest Bible Church in Illinois and a member of Trump's evangelical advisory board called the candidate's remarks misogynistic trash. The pastor told the magazine he would no longer work with the campaign unless Trump repents. Popular evangelist and author Beth Moore tweeted that she was among many women who had been sexually abused or harassed and were tired of it. That behavior, she warned, becomes more acceptable when some Christian leaders don't think it's that big a deal. Caitlin Beattie, author of A Woman's Place and a former managing editor at Christianity Today magazine, said Moore's comments indicate evangelical women are becoming more wary of Trump, especially as it relates to the ways he consistently talks about and treats women. But James Dobson of Family Talk Radio condemned Trump's comments but called Clinton's support for abortion rights criminal. Mr. Trump promises to support religious liberty and the dignity of the unborn. Mrs. Clinton promises she will not, Dobson said in a statement on Monday. Fowler Jr., an early endorser of the real estate magnate, said Trump's remarks were reprehensible. Still, Fowler said, we're never going to have a perfect candidate, and suggested the video leak was engineered by Trump's enemies in his own party. I think it was timed, Fowler told WABC AM radio in New York. I think it might have been even a conspiracy, you know, among the establishment Republicans who've known about it for weeks and who tried to time it to do the maximum damage. Conservative Christian support for Trump has confounded those inside and outside evangelicalism. Trump is a casino mogul who married three times, said he didn't need to ask God for forgiveness, mocked a disabled reporter, and alluded to his penis size during a debate. Early on, prominent evangelicals, including Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention and Christian Order Max Lucado, warned evangelicals against Trump. Still, as the year progressed and the large pool of GOP primary contenders dwindled, it became clear that white conservative Christians were coalescing behind the candidate. Recent polls show the GOP presidential nominee drawing about 70% of the white evangelical vote. Although some evangelicals defended Trump's character, many couched their endorsements in pragmatic terms, focused on Trump's promise that he will appoint conservative justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. Laura Olson, a Clemson University political scientist, said this support can be seen in part as payback for evangelical losses in the so-called culture wars. Many conservative Christians see the roots of their failure in the policies of President Bill Clinton. In 1993, days into his first term in the White House, and on the 20th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Clinton signed an executive order abolishing some restrictions on abortion. Younger evangelicals likely don't remember that far back, but for others, the Clintons come as a package deal in so many people's minds, Olson said. In a recent Pew Research Center survey, more than three-quarters of white evangelicals cited dislike for Clinton as a major reason they prefer Trump. A perception grew, even while Clinton was first lady, that she was the extremely liberal one, that Bill Clinton was a moderate, a pragmatist, while Hillary had an extremely liberal approach to things, said Matthew Lee Anderson, founder of the popular Christian blog Mere Orthodoxy, who came out early against Trump. A lot has to do with her views on abortion. She was much more easily caricaturized as a foe than even Bill Clinton was. That picture was set relatively early within the religious right, and it has endured. Another legacy of that period was Hillary Clinton's approach as First Lady, which did not fit the expected roles for women in more traditional corners of evangelicalism. And finally, worship leader Eunice Matthews has brought a suit against Oak Park Community Church in Illinois, claiming that they are responsible for a thigh injury that she suffered while leading Sunday morning worship. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court claims that Matthews gave herself a severe deep thigh bruise while slapping her thigh to the beat of a worship tune in an effort to get the congregation clapping nearly a month ago. The suit further claims that the church was criminally negligent in not providing Matthews with a headset, which she says would have allowed her to clap her hands instead of her thigh. Matthews said she had asked church leaders to provide a headset on numerous occasions and complained about ongoing thigh pain. Matthews is seeking remuneration for lost wages, saying she has been unable to perform her duties at her job as a dog trainer.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.